The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time to hear the truth, unfiltered. It's Sean Salisbury, unfiltered. He's played football, baseball, and basketball. He played pro football for 10 years, and he's been a broadcaster for 12 years. Now he takes it to the internet radio airwaves. Get ready for sports talk like you've never heard before. Now, here's Sean Salisbury.
Morning, folks. How are we doing? Things are good. It's a good Wednesday morning. Golf season's right around the corner. Let's see if Tiger Woods can get back into the Tiger Woods groove. And how great is this when you start a show off talking about video games? I'm not a big video game player, but a lot of people are. Well, EA Sports, you know, Augusta National, trying to get into Augusta National is the golf course where they play the Masters is I don't know if you want to call it stuffy. I mean, I don't mean it like that. We'd all like to go there and play there or be a member there. But trying to do stuff that's outside, I mean, you can't call them fans. You got to call them patrons if you're a broadcaster. You know, all those things that go along with it. Well, they've decided to step out of their game a little bit and realize that there's too much money to be made. They are allowing you to play Augusta National on video games. Now, EA Sports and the Tiger Woods PGA Tour 12 is the Masters. So starting March 29th, it gets released. You get to play Augusta National through the video game. So I think that's an awesome step. And Augusta National actually allowing people inside their building that aren't a patron, just us normal fans, are going to play. I kind of like that. Kind of like that a lot. I guess even Augusta National realized there's a lot of money to be made to allow them to use that golf course a little bit and get it out there. And Tiger's name will be on it, and I'm sure he'd like to go win another green jacket. So that's the way to start that out. And starting out with a few little side things that I think are important. The Jets, obviously, the Jets say that these massage therapists, that what they have against Brett Favre and the Jets is basically ludicrous and holds no water. And you'd think 2 years later that they're probably right. Like I said, I'm not familiar with the situation because I wasn't involved in it, but the Jets deny it. Favre denies it. I mean, I didn't say Favre denied it. The Jets, are speaking on both halves, say that it's basically, and I'm speaking in my terms, kind of ludicrous that it weighs, holds no water. Rich Rodriguez is awaiting his fate at Michigan. Rumors, wherever they started, that said that he was fired. They're meeting again today to see if Michigan's going to have a new football coach. If Michigan's going to have a new football coach, then who is it going to be? Don't think it's going to be Jim Harbaugh. Will it be a Michigan guy? Or do you go outside and get somebody else? Do you try to get a guy like John Gruden to come coach at Michigan? Do you try to get a big-name guy that may not even have Michigan ties? I think that's interesting. Do the Seahawks have a shot? Unbelievable note, guys. And their 9 losses this year, all were by more than 15 points. 15 points or more in their 9 losses. Think about that. This team's hosting a playoff game at 7-9. And those 9 losses were by 15-plus points. 15 points or more. So basically what they're saying is the Seahawks find a way to win or they get their ass kicked. That's unbelievable. Has there ever been a team that's made the playoffs getting beat by 15-plus points, 15 or more points, even if they lost 3 times, let alone 9? When I saw that number, I was alarmed. crazy. Okay, congratulations to him. Oh, one thing that I think this is great news, and for Red Sox fans, you got to love it. Maybe some of you are mad at Billy Buckner still, and for a lot of you fans, you don't know, don't care. I do, because one of the great players, one of the great underrated players of all time in baseball for the Cubs, Dodgers, and Red Sox, to name three, I think those were his main three, was Billy Buckner. Well over 2,000 hits. Had a great glove for a lot of years. And the picture in Game 6 against the 1986, his fielding error on that slow roller down the first baseline that crept through his legs on a slow bend. You can picture Billy chasing the ball in those black high tops, his body beat up. And it almost caught, I mean, he moved far away and went into seclusion. He became reclusive, I mean, because people were so hard on him for an error in that game that Billy disappeared. Well, the Red Sox have hired him to manage their independent Can-Am League, and I think it's awesome, in Brockton, Massachusetts. Good for Billy Buckner. Bringing him back out, giving him some respect. Long overdue. He was the White Sox hitting instructor from 1996 to 1997, but basically they kind of got pushed off the map over a physical mistake on a guy who had an outstanding career. And I am so glad for Billy Buckner that he's able to come back out, and the Red Sox are welcoming him back over a stupid error. Yeah, it was monumental as far as, you know, World Series lore goes and the rest of it, but how can you hate a guy for that? How can you, I mean, over a silly sport, which matters, it's baseball, it's business and all that, but you know what? Unfortunate time. I mean, good gracious, it happens. I'm sure Scott Norwood in Buffalo is still miserable after missing his field goal. Cost them a Super Bowl. You know, those things happen, folks. That's why athletes have the balls. They have the balls to put themselves on the line every single day. And I know the answer is this for the naysayers and the people who always want to be, you know, always want to be evil or always want to have drama or always want to be negative or, well, they get paid all that money. Well, you know what? Most of them would still go out there and compete. And Billy Buckner wasn't making $10 million a year. And trust me, with the way he hit, he'd be making that now. He wasn't making $10 million bucks a year. He played because he loved it, got good pay, good money. And, you know, at the time, it's all relative to when you're playing. But you know what? To go out and put your butt on the line and whether you're playing injured or what have you, it's not an easy thing to do. If it was, every single one of you would be doing it. Every single one of you and me would still be doing it. So good. I'm glad for Billy Buckner. And I was going through it thinking of these little side things that matter to me in sports today. Now, one thing that I got a little odd with, and two things about this bowl game last night in the Sugar Bowl. Well, actually, three. Great job by Arkansas of hanging in there and fighting to try and win to come back after a 28-7 deficit. Every single player that was supposed to be suspended made an impact. Heron scores, Pryor's the MVP. The two other offensive players, obviously, the offensive lineman started. Posey made a touchdown catch and scored a touchdown. I mean, Posey scored the touchdown, as did Heron. And Thomas, the defensive end, in his own blitz, makes the interception. He's not even a starter. The only other five guys who are suspended at the beginning of next year, he makes the zone blitz interception on Mallett after the block punt to secure the win. Think about that, folks. All five guys made an impact in the game. All five. Impact in the game. I mean, huge impact. The offensive line did a great job protecting Pryor. Two of the skilled position guys scored touchdowns. Pryor is the MVP, and Thomas makes the key interception on his own blitz. He drops into coverage while the outside linebacker rushes. Mallett doesn't see him, throws the ball off balance, right into the zone blitz. Exact great defensive call to force Mallett to throw it, you know, off balance, and then bam, which most quarterbacks are not taught to read defensive ends or defensive tackles in a zone blitz. You're taught to read linebackers and secondary, and you don't. You read pass. You know, see pass rush and read run game. But defensive ends are not taught. You're not to play zone blitz. That's why it's one of the most effective things in the league, because you see linebacker come, you think, oh, I got an open throwing lane. Yet the defensive end who's supposed to rush drops into the throwing lane and Mallet throws a pick. All five guys had an impact in the game last night, huge impact, and had the and I think it's great for Ohio State. I picked Ohio State to win. Thought they'd win because these guys were playing in it, and mainly because the quarterback prior. But the NC2A didn't have the guts to pull the trigger this year and have to hold off, and all five guys helped them win. How's the irony of that one? They don't win the football game without those five guys in it. All had a major impact in the game. Now, the thing that probably bothered me most about the game, folks, and please don't tell me that it was heroic. The Terrell Pryor walking off with guys under his arm, the drama of while he's standing on stage reaching down constantly while the cameras are on to touch his foot. Little overboard, my man. I love the positives of a Willis Reed story coming out of the locker room hurt and doing it. He got hurt his foot the last few snaps, ran over there, got it taped up, jogged back on the field, took another snap, sprinted back quick to hand the ball off. But afterwards, that grimace on his face as if he'd just been through four gunshot wounds and had to have two guys that really weren't playing in the game carry him over to the sideline reporter to talk. And then he called her man like 14 times in the interview. Yeah, man, my foot, man. And then on stage has to be helped up on stage. And then while he's on stage and the camera's on Reese Davis and Jim Tressel, he's reaching down. And I like the fact that he, although he's not the greatest speech giver, that he apologized to the fans for the five guys. That was nice and good and told Ohio State fans on the stage. But if you watch him, and I watched it close, reaching down and touching your foot while the camera's on you, he played great. He didn't need the extra heroics of being helped. If he was that bad, the cart should have been out there carting him off. Little bit embarrassing and a little overdramatic, okay? Because if you were able to take the last snap and run out there with tape on your ankles, you could have limped off the field. You did not need two players that don't get much playing time to put under their arms and drag you off the field. I just thought it was kind of weak. On a great game, a victory, you're crowned the MVP. But boy, you want to milk it a tad more, my man? Reaching down and touching your foot while you're standing on stage? Well, I'm just trying to figure out why you were able to stand on stage just fine. And you didn't have anybody under your arm, but you couldn't stand out there for the interview without two guys under your arm and that national TV camera on you. Little overboard, Mr. Pryor. You played good football. Save the dramatics just a little bit. The scrim of the grimace, and like, oh, he just couldn't quite get through it. Got through that last momentum snap the last couple plays, though. Played it to a hilt. And if you bought it at home, oh, I'm sure he's hurt. I'm not questioning that. I know he's hurt. But being toted off the field by your buddies, we're coming back on Voice America Sports. That's not allowed on Unfiltered. I'm just sorry to tell you. It's not allowed. Kind of reminds me of when D. Wade or Paul had to go over there and get a wheelchair to get him off the court, and we're playing later in the game. Save it, folks. Don't need the overdrama. We're coming right back. It's Unfiltered. I'm Sean Salisbury. Do the Seahawks really have a shot against the Saints? We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Get the inside scoop on the Georgia Bulldogs. Tune in to Keelan Johnson on College Football Game Day, on the radio, and every day on KeelanJohnson.com. On Keelan's Keeping It Real Radio, you can talk to Keelan and his former teammates about the Bulldogs, college football, and all things sports. Keelan's the go-to analyst for Bulldog football on pre- and post-game television on KeelanJohnson.com. And now, every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in every college game day for Keelan Johnson, Keeping It Real Radio. Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
We some hard hitters, we some hard hitters.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to seansals@gmail.com. That's seansals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
So you guys out there, you know what I'm talking about the prior thing. 888-346-9144. 888-346-9144 or seansals@gmail.com. Like I said, respect him as a player. But I'd have had a little bit more respect if he didn't play the "I gotta have guys carry me off." And then when she asked him, he goes, my favorite part of the interview, she asked him, "Well, how's the foot?" He goes, "It's my foot, man." And that was it. And then at the end, she goes, "Well, you know, you said you were committing to coming back next year. Will we see you next year?" And he goes, "Yeah, thank you very much." As if she just asked him. So he was thanking her. She asked him if he was going to see him next year, and he said, "Thank you very much," thinking that she said, "We will see you next year." So it's just kind of funny. But I thought the overdone on the carry me off the field with my buddy's injury and grabbing my foot on stage bothered me. Those kind of things bother me. I just you just don't see. It's like a quarterback who throws an interception or has a good game and then bam. You see him, you know, extra milking it that his thumb's sore or that they, I mean, it's just, you know what? I understand the injuries. Completely understand injuries. But you know what? Save it for the inside part. In the locker room, do it. And if you got to be toted off, you shouldn't be out there partying, right? I just thought, and I understand. I completely understand what's going on with an injury. But you know what? You got to. There comes a point in time. It's like, stop now. You've reached down four times to touch your foot on stage with everybody watching. We get it. It just made me laugh. You know, the Ron Franklin, ESPN, fired after 25 years. Now, I just going through what I've read and what I've heard, and I know Jeanine Edwards, too, and she's a wonderful girl. I've worked with Ron Franklin before, and Ron is got the best pipes, meaning voice, probably in the business. And, you know, Ron's 25 years. Now, it would seem to me I don't know the inside, and I don't like when, you know, when it came across the bottom line, it said that he was fired for, they let him go for inappropriate comments. Now, the first thing that comes to your mind without them explaining what the comments are, that'll be, is inappropriate. The first thing you think of is, you know, was he being sexual or, and that's not Ron's style, you know, maybe condescending, but just reading today, they dropped Ron Franklin for an incident with sideline reporter for calling Edwards sweet baby. And then when she objected, you know, called her sweet baby. I don't know if it was like, you hear the rumors that it's on the online that it was in a meeting. He was sitting there with somebody else and she walked in and he said, hey, sweet baby, can you see where the boys are in a meeting or something? She said something else. Don't talk to me like that or something. And he said, okay, asshole, what have you. Now, here's the deal. I'm sure it didn't help, and you can't be condescending. Janine does a hell of a job on the sidelines. She deserves the respect that a man gets that you'd give the sideline reporter if he was male or anybody else. My whole thing is after 25 years of service, and I'm just questioning. I'm not, like I said, I don't hang around either Janine or Ron Franklin, but I've talked to them both, and I'm think Janine does one hell of a job. She does horse racing, football, sports, reporting. She's done it all. And she deserves respect because she's just an extremely professional woman. And Ron's been in it long enough to know better than to condescendingly call somebody that name. I know how he said, she said stories work, believe me. I think a lot of us do in any walk of life. My question here is, and I'm not the person who does the hiring or firing, why can't, when something like that happens, two people just work it out? Why can't somebody else say, don't call me an asshole, I think you're a prick and I don't want to deal with this, and work it out? Or the producer on site or whatever come and say, hey, you two, stop it, man. We got a good thing going here. We're doing a bowl game. Stop it. Blah, blah, blah. Move on. But, I mean, I don't know. And this has nothing to do with Janine. I don't think Janine, you know, sit there and say, you got to fire him. That's, from what I know, that's not Janine's style. And I don't think Ron Franklin, a 25-year career, if those are the, I'll put it this way, if this is the only thing that went on and they can't work out an argument, and why in corporate America does it, if there's a disagreement, all of a sudden somebody's got to get fired? Why? If you guys, where I've been at that building at ESPN, and I'm sure your jobs, listening to the bosses talk behind closed doors or listening in my ear in a production room when they're cussing each other out in there because the camera was late and the rest of it, they don't get fired. They don't get fired. But a talent, I mean, why can't two people have an argument? That happens with your kids. And it was condescending if it's by this, calling her sweet baby and asshole. Of course. Of course. Suspend him, slap him on the hand. If it went deeper than that, if it was, I get it. Or if he's a repeat offender 4 or 5 times, has done something 3 times, done something like that, and condescend. I don't know what the insight. This has nothing with me. I don't do the hiring and firing. And I don't, you know what, I don't get into the gossip around the building. I've been there and seen it and heard it and know about he said, she said, and I'm a huge fan of Janine Edwards, and I think Ron Franklin's voice and his knowledge and what he's done over these years, he's been a hell of a broadcaster. So what went on? But I'm just going by what you read. Now, I'm smarter than to know by what I read on the internet and what I read of all the insights, because I know the one production person could say one thing, somebody else could say another. People say what they want to make sure you hear, okay? And how soon they forget when it's somebody else, but when it's about them, you know what I'm saying? Is that there? If somebody doesn't like you, believe me, they'll add on a couple extra words that you may or may not have said. And like I said, if Ron did this, they should have slapped him on the hand and done it. If it went deeper than this, which I don't know, then maybe that's why he got fired. Janine is damn good and a professional and deserves to be treated with respect. But is this the culture we're in now? That if you and a coworker have an argument at State Farm Insurance, and one says, well, I think you're an asshole. It's a girl and a guy and a girl. The truth is, I don't know what the gender, if you call somebody an asshole, gender, male or female, you still use the word asshole and fine. But if you're around and you sit there and you say, you know, you get into a little disagreement over maybe content or, you know, somebody's being a smart ass, and you turn around and say, you kiss my ass. What are you talking about? And you battle back and forth. Does it really warrant firing? Does it? Do we really warrant after a 25-year career saying, oh, got to get rid of him now over that? Is that what it's come to? I mean, I'm going just by what I read. Forget it's Janine. It could be me. That's the one Ron's calling a sweet baby and an asshole. It could be you. It could be Scott Van Pelt being called that. It could be, you know, Rodney Harrison. It could be Bob Costas, whoever. But are we in a culture now at your job or anywhere else where you can't even walk down the hall and say hello, or if somebody looks at you and you get into a disagreement in a production in your sales meeting? Does that mean both teams, you got to fire them? Good gracious, whatever happened today actually being and working something out? Whatever happened the day when you told your kids, you know what, I'm not getting in the middle of it. You two go work it out. Until you can work it out, you're not getting out of it. You take a time out. Go work it out, man. We got good things. Go work it out. Doesn't need to be made public that you're fighting over something. If it gets out of hand, then we step in. Go work it out. You're grown adults. Two guys, a guy and a girl, two girls, whatever. How much of this bullshit goes on every – why? What is this culture? And who are the people fooling? Who are they fooling? If this is what it takes to get fired, then I'll tell you what, that building I used to work in, 80% of them shouldn't be working there. And I'm sure it goes on at your job, too. And this is not an – I'm on the lady's side. I get it. You guys deserve – I've said it a million times. When that lady, when that model went into the Jets locker room and they, you know, catcalled and all that, she deserves more respect than that. Deserves more respect than that. Just like Janine deserves far more respect than to be called – matter of fact, I'd take it more offensive to be called sweet baby by a grown man if I'm a woman than I would being called an asshole. Cuss word, you're an asshole. You're a prick, Ron. Hey, great. Have a good day, okay? If that's the way they wanted to go about it. Sweet baby's condescending, and that's, she should have said, hey, don't call me that anymore, and I don't know how they handled it. Like I said, I like them both because I've worked, I know them both. You can't say those things and not at least get slapped on the hand. But when do we forget the broadcast part of it and that, if it's a male or female, your job? When's enough enough? 25-year career down the drain like that over this? And then they make a big deal of it, and now Janine's there going to say, well, maybe it was Janine's. So it's not Janine's fault. Janine was doing her job. So I'm honest. I get that. But good gracious, when is the days when grown adults work out? Has everything got to run to human resources because some guy told a girl that she liked her hair, or a girl tells a guy, and a girl tells a guy, oh, I like your tie. Should the guy go turn her in? This is Voice America Sports. Good gracious, it's crazy. It's crazy. You can't even enjoy life. We're coming right back.
Is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot. Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters, we some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Are you ready for an old school in your face discussion of professional college and high school football? Tune in for talk on a variety of football-related topics on the program From Under the Helmet with your hosts, Derek Enard and the coach, Al Gross.
You will hear the week's headlines and straight talk from the hosts and their weekly guests that are personal and provocative.
From Under the Helmet is broadcast every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
locked in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSalz@gmail.com. That's SeanSalz@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
So I just don't understand, folks, when it comes a point in time when
we just don't get it worked out.
But it's unfortunate that a 25-year career for Ron at ESPN's done after that. Like I said, don't know how it went down or why. I feel bad for Jeanine Edwards that she has to go this and endure and have people question her. And you know what? I never like to see somebody get fired unless it's just so blatant that, you know, it's like, okay, enough's enough. But it's just too bad. It's too bad. And I've spent enough time on this already today, but I just don't get what happens when two people disagree, remove this situation, the Ron and Jeanine situation, on why people just can't talk. There's this. It's called life, man. School teachers argue with students. There's, you know, being insubordinate's one thing. You can't go there. But even if you're in a disagreement with your boss, in a respectful disagreement, does it automatically say, I mean, are we supposed to, I mean, is it just because somebody is your superior, you're supposed to just sit there and take a, you know, and grab your ankles and let them ream you without a response back? I mean, I just don't understand the whole concept and the whole way we've evolved that we can't have disagreements and still go on with our jobs. I really don't. Why every single thing's an HR issue. Like I said, I don't know this. There could have been 20 other things said. I don't believe what I read 90% of the time. I mean, plenty of it's complete bullshit, okay? In this case, Jeanine Edwards did not deserve to be called sweet baby by Ron. And Ron's been in the business long enough to know better, but Ron's also been in the business to warrant a hall pass. And I don't mean a hall pass fully from being suspended without pay for a week or saying we're taking you off a bowl game or a basketball game that you do, whatever. But 25 years, and I don't know what the track, if it's ever happened before, but 25 years of saying, you know, maybe they say, Ron, you know better than that, and slap his hand and move him aside. I don't know. Does it warrant being fired? If you call somebody an asshole, is that an automatic warrant fire? How often does that happen at your job? How often does that happen? I just don't know why people can't say, come on now, enough, move it on, and get on with the business. I mean, the ripple effect that it has on not only Jeanine and Ron, but anybody else in your job, that if it's a disagreement and you can't work it out, take a day off and you know, boom, let's come back, give a few apologies, and let's go. Good gracious. I mean, it happens. Your wife offends you. You offend your wife. You all of a sudden get divorced after somebody calls the other one an asshole? I don't understand the whole concept of the evil trying to bury somebody. And I'm not saying either one of these two tried to bury anybody, but why a boss gets in and why all of a sudden, oh, you know what? Time to get rid of him, 25 years. And judging from what I've seen with some suspensions that have been handed out just using this company, which I worked for a long time, and they treated me great. Unfortunate how my contract, you know, didn't get renewed at the end of it after 12 years. Fine, no problem. I don't have any hard feelings for them. It happens. I know how damn good can be at this job, and it happens. So my point is, I got nothing bad to say. I'd go back. 90% of the people there, I'd love. Every now and then you get a boss or a person you work with, you say, gosh dang, what a miserable sot that person is. Enough. I'd go back. They were great. It shaped my career. Taught me so much on how to be a broadcaster. The rest of it was great. Great people, no problem. The production team's as good as you'll find on the planet anywhere. No problem. But I've seen suspensions, and we all have, that have been handed down there that if you were going to fire somebody, warranted a lot quicker firing than that after 25 years of service. It's just too bad. And I'm sure Jeanine thinks Ron doesn't like Ron very much after the comedy made sweet baby. She deserves better than that. But can't we all as adults, if it's a breaking point, it's a breaking point. And if it's happened 20 times before, I get it. But what happened to the days of just, you guys work it out. Quit talking to her like that. And everybody be a little more thick-skinned and let's move forward. We're in a business that is high pressure, that is live television. Be careful what you say. You got to impress, you know, viewers. And just let's go. And there's pressure getting ready for a big bowl game. I mean, people are on edge. You don't know what went on with somebody during the day. You don't know if Ron got in a fight with his wife and all of a sudden took it out on Janine. You don't know if Janine was having a bad day because of, you know, the home life and reacting. You don't know this. I know I like them both, and I know they're both good at their jobs, and it's sad to see anybody go through this. Back to sports. It's just, I mean, they're great. In this day and age where everybody wants to sue this person, and this person's wrong, and that's right. Take it to HR. Got a fight. Well, she said something about my tie, or he didn't like me, or he told a dirty joke, or he smiled, and I thought they were whispering about me. Or, I mean, enough. Enough, folks. Are you so pathetic that you can't take care of you guys' business together? Not those two. I mean, any of us. Can your 16- and 14-year-old teenagers work it out at home? Apparently, they can work it out a lot easier than us grown adults can. And apparently, certain sports can't work it out either, like reseeding. What would have been the problem after the playoffs? I mean, what's going to be the problem in this offseason for them to just say, we're reseeding next year? That's a rule that can be changed right off the bat. Right off the bat. Just like we should be able to sit in front of each other and say, I screwed up, sorry, can we work this out? Yep, let's just not do it again. We made a mistake. Boom, we'll move on. Everybody's happy. I just don't like to see people go through hard times. I just don't like to see it and somebody lose their gig over something that, you know, maybe it could have been worked out without the immediate knee-jerk crap. But there's a knee-jerk thing that needs to go on in the playoffs. The Seattle Seahawks, and I don't, you know what, Seahawks fans, I played there. One of the greatest, funnest years of my career was my rookie year in Seattle. I actually thought I was going to spend my entire career there. Fans were unreal. The 12th man there is as loud as any stadium on the planet. You're getting ready to play the Saints, which you should take a brutal ass beating. But you know what? Pray that it's raining sideways and the ball's slippery, because that's the only chance you got. If it's a 65 or 60 degree day and it's sunny, or a 45 degree day and it's sunny, you're not winning. Not against that team. Sorry, if all things be, you're not winning. You better hope for some luck. And this is no, like I said, one of my favorite cities and fans on the planet is Seattle. But I got to call it like I see it. And what I see is that the Seattle Seahawks, how they got in the playoffs is beyond me. Not only did they only win seven games, they got beat by an average of I mean, excuse me, at a minimum of 15. And their lost nine losses, lost by 15 points or more. That's not a playoff team. It's not a playoff team. And I'm sorry, I'll take the playoff victory and the playoff money if you're a Seahawk and you, hey, you're in the tournament. You're in the tournament. So everybody who's got a chance is in the tournament, but maybe you guys. Of the 12 teams, I can name one team that unless they get tremendously lucky and get weather help and Drew Brees decides to play his worst game, you don't have a chance. And once you get by this game, you can call it what you want. Good night, Irene. Katie, bar the door. See you later. No moss. No rematch. All done. Team finished. And we're supposed to be proud of our Seahawks. Well, if you're a Seahawks fan, you know, I get it, because that's your team. You're going to root, and you're a diehard, and you're a homer, and you're going to battle. I get it. And you know what? Once you're in, like I said, you never know what can happen. But that's not a playoff team, folks. Can't even describe them as a playoff team. Took care of their business against St. Louis, yes, because it was in St. Louis. They wouldn't beat St. Louis in St. Louis. But they won. One thing being 7-9, but in your nine losses, you got beat by 15 points or more in each game. Hello. Now, Mike Mayock, one of the NFL analysts for NBC, Rodney Harrison says they're going to get beat by two touchdowns minimum for the most part, a Saints win. Mike Mayock says they got a chance because they're at home. And you've got a fighter's chance. I don't know if you've got a fighter's chance. You've got a long-distance chance. Excuse me. No cough button. Or... excuse me, sneeze button. So it's just normal, good show. I even get to sneeze online. Excuse me, I apologize. I wasn't trying to be rude. I just don't have a button to push to mute you when I do that. Excuse me. So do they really? I mean, here's the one thing. If bad weather hits, Drew Brees has thrown a career-high 22 interceptions. He throws three of them in bad weather. That's the fighter's chance that Seattle has. Lining up player for player, man for man. Normal football. If both teams play their best, Seattle loses by three touchdowns. If both teams play their best, Seattle still loses by 2.5 to 3 touchdowns. Game won't be close. If Seattle plays its best and New Orleans plays decent, the game will be close and New Orleans will still win. If New Orleans plays awful and Seattle plays great, and since it's in Seattle, then Seattle wins the game. Average game by New Orleans, good game by Seattle, New Orleans still wins. Great game by both, New Orleans wins by three touchdowns. Great game by Seattle, poor game by New Orleans, probably still close, but Seattle wins the game. There you have it, folks. 7-9, been beat by 15 points or more in all 9 of your losses. You're not a very good football team, and we'll respect you, but not that much. Of the 12 teams in the playoffs, we all know Seattle's the one that you say, if you put it this way, if you got a lucky charm and you bet 10 grand on Seattle, you're going to lose it. But could you imagine if you did that and all of a sudden they went through and ran and run this thing and won? But they got as much chance of that as you do of winning that $355 million last night. We'll be right back. It's Voice America Sports. I'm Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered. Masters is going to let you play their golf course. Of course, if you go buy it on video game released March 29th, Tiger Woods, PGA Tour 2012. But at least the Masters is working towards allowing people into their facility. If you're a patron, you probably don't want to buy it. But if you're a fan, you probably do. We're coming right back.
School to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Looking for a top show about horse racing and handicapping?
Looking to play the ponies?
Join us every week for Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies website, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for listening. Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer is live Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, is here for you, the fan, to hear about and discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports. We'll discuss not only the headliners, but you'll hear some of the smaller stories that don't usually make it on the sports wires today. It's a forum for the sports fan, hosted by Joe Cribbs, a three-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills. Joe is a 10-year pro football veteran, a former Southeastern Conference Most Valuable Player, and a member of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Discuss the topics with Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Voice America Sports, we're Unfiltered. Yes, we are Unfiltered. Ohio State with the big win, finally beating SEC team. They're 12-1, the sixth-ranked Buckeyes. And how grateful are they that the NCAA did not suspend them or Ohio State for this game, because all five guys made a huge impact in the game that were that in truth
should have been suspended for this game, although the NC2A delayed it. But you got to give the Buckeyes credit because they played great football, and then they allowed Arkansas back in, and then they closed it out. And how in the world do you allow a block punt at that point? Special teams coach, somebody ought to be slapped upside the head, but a great effort by Arkansas's punt blocker to go over the top and block it. Left it too close. And then zone blitz, Thomas makes the pick, another guy that would have been suspended. They all had a hand in it. And while it was a great game to watch, my biggest disappointment was the over-milking of the foot injury and the helping off and the touching it and grabbing it on stage. A little much for me by Terrell Pryor. Sorry, folks. Even if you're a Buckeye fan and you look at it fair, he milked that thing till the cows come home. Had there not been a TV camera on him, he wouldn't have been milking that. Trust me. Let's get out to Anthony in New York. Anthony, what's going on? Is Anthony there, guys? Yo, guys.
You got me?
Yeah, there you go.
What's up, Sean?
What's going on, man?
A couple of things this morning. First off, you brought up Bill Buckner to start the show.
Yeah.
And if it's any consolation for Bill Buckner, you know, looking at watching the replay over and over and over again, there's not a doubt in my mind. I think even if Buckner feels that cleanly, I think Mookie Wilson beats that out to first base anyway.
Would have been a hell of a battle to the first base bag, wouldn't it? Especially since Buckner, with his injury, wasn't real. I mean, Buck wasn't moving very well.
No, but
the question here is, would Ray Knight have been able to come around third and score?
No,
but that's the difference. And you may have been able to get the guy out next, but even then, Bill Buckner had a hell of a career, and for people to beat him up so harsh over that,
right?
I felt sorry for him.
Yeah, no, it's horrible. You know, it's horrible, and that's just a little consolation that Wilson probably. I think, you know, if watching it over and over, if you look at where he was,
yep,
he might have beaten it out
and sliding into first base and head first and beating Buck, because Buck was playing pretty deep from the bag and he didn't run well.
Yeah.
So you might be right.
Yeah,
you might be right, and we would have seen what happened with the next hitter to the plate.
Yeah, but like you're right though. Ray Knight wouldn't have been able to score though.
Exactly.
So and then getting on to last night's game, I wanted to talk a little bit about before, you know, all the pregame hype. And I hope ESPN is paying Lou Holtz just to purposely disagree with Mark May, because he sounds, you know, you've said it, he doesn't belong on TV. Mark May was saying how Jim Tressel had a chance to step up and, you know, sit these guys down and show what Ohio State was really about, and these guys have no business playing in this game. And then Holtz comes on, and he's saying, well, they're not criminals, and, you know, they haven't been convicted of a crime, so they should be able to play. And the NCAA, you know, to me, there are times when it's okay to disagree with someone, you know, just for a good TV. But for something like that, to dig that deep, to try and come up with, you know, just somebody to come up with something different, I had a problem with it because it was, you know, there was no, you know, his argument held no water.
And you know what? And let me explain this to you, Anthony, and I'm with you 100%. Some people don't like Mark May because he's opinionated.
Right.
Some people don't like Lou Holtz. And no offense, Lou's not good on TV.
He's not.
This you know, this Coach Lou, and I like Coach Holtz. I respect him as a motivational speaker. I've been around him, and I respect him as a gentleman, as a father. I mean, he's very good.
Mm-hmm.
But he's on there because he's Lou Holtz.
Right.
If you stuck somebody else on there that had a lesser resume than Lou Holtz, he wouldn't have lasted a year on TV.
Right.
He's not good. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just, you know, sometimes you can't understand what he's saying. He's not good.
Yeah.
He is not. His points to me most of the time don't. For a guy who was such a great coach and got people to play, he gives great one line, you know, these motivational quotes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And has been a hell of a coach.
Right.
For a guy who's a hell of a coach, when I look at the X's and O's and some of the comments he makes about players and teams,
mm-hmm,
I shake my head and say, how did he win so many games?
Yeah.
I honestly do. And like I said, this is just me being a guy. If I didn't know either Mark or Lou, and I know them both.
Right.
And Mark can be opinionated, but I'll take the opinionated stance,
mm-hmm,
you know, and not worry about what somebody else says. And for a guy who preaches morality as much as Lou Holtz does,
mm-hmm,
on his foot and doing the right thing and living right and doing it all,
he
goes completely against what he normally believes. And you know what? He's extremely condescending to Mark May a lot.
On purpose.
He's extremely condescending to Mark May, as if Mark May never peed a drop in a league. And I hate to tell you,
yeah,
Mark May is a Hall of Fame, college Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
Mark May's got, what, two or three Super Bowl rings? Two Super Bowl rings, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, Mark's had a pretty damn good run, okay?
Right.
And while Lou's had a good run as a coach, no offense, Mark knows just as good X's and O's as Lou Holtz does. But Lou, I don't know if it's increased the resume. And you know what, anybody that allows a production guy to tell somebody what to say,
Yeah.
You got to run them off the stage anyway. I was there for 12 years, and while they have their suggestions, they're not telling me what to say. They may say pick a side, and even with John Clayton and I, we disagreed a lot. We told them a million times, I said, you can't just every time make us fight and disagree.
Yeah.
John and I don't disagree on everything. There are plenty of topics John and I actually agree completely. So you're not going to change. Now, if there's two things being equal, who's the best quarterback, Manning or Brady? At the time, I can make a case for both. So, John, which one do you feel strongly about if they were to ask him? I'd say let John pick the one he wants. I'll make a case for the other guy.
Right.
But you just can't do it. And I think Lou does it on purpose, and he'll interrupt Mark sometimes, and he'll talk to him in a condescending manner as if, I don't mind the jabbering and the joking and Mark making fun of Lou and Lou making like John and I did. Sean, you didn't play. That's right. John, neither did you. I don't care about that. What I care about is that the bullshit and the X's and O's and the stuff that you want to tell me. And I'll be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Lou Holtz, other than great motivational quotes, and he'll do some funny stuff on his coaching thing and the rest of it, and he's very, I'd go listen to him give a speech. That job, he's not good at it. He's a far better coach than he is a broadcaster.
I'm hoping he's just keeping the seat warm for Urban Meyer. He'll probably be the next one to take that spot.
Well, you know what? Or they'll put them both on there. The one thing they do, they put warm. If you've just retired or just quit your job, left a college job or retired as an NFL player, they'll give you a seat there. Now, how long you stay in it, we'll see.
Right.
But they will just add another piece of a desk and line somebody else up. I'll tell you what, they'd get rid of Mark before they'd get rid of Lou Holtz.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's the sad part. I like Mark May.
They would. I know how they work.
Right.
Urban's a bigger star now.
Yep.
Even though Mark's on all the time, gives great insight, is opinionated, works his butt off on every show, will do whatever needed. And I'm sure Coach Holtz will too. But you know what? They'd move Mark a step aside before they'd move Lou. And Mark's far better on TV than Lou Holtz is.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And then getting on to the game last night. Actually,
hey, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. You know, these are short, just a short, quick break, 2 minutes. I want to talk about the game last night. And I want to ask you, do you think Terrell Pryor milked his injury a tad bit in the postgame?
That's exactly what I wanted to talk about.
We'll come right back here. Anthony Peranio and myself, joining me as he always does as a guest and one of the great ones. This is Sean Salisbury. We're Unfiltered. We're talking about all things sports and opinions everywhere. That's why it's Unfiltered. Say whatever you want here, folks. Maybe right, maybe wrong, but guess what? It's not either. It's your opinion, and we love it. We'll be right back. It's Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters. We some hard hitters.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need a bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSalls@gmail.com. That's SeanSalls@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Good afternoon, Anthony, again in New York, here on Voice America Sports. Anthony wanted to talk about the game last night. I thought the prior played well. He's a good player. I thought the milking of the injury after was so blatant, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, I think he signed when the injury happened. Granted, the guy was hurt. He didn't make
an injury. There's no question.
But I think he saw an opportunity because I think he's leaving the school. I don't think he's coming back. Even though we told Jim Tressel one thing, he's leaving. There's no point for him to come back. But I think he saw an opportunity and basically said, let me milk this. Now I'll kind of look like a hero. And then even in the post-game interview, even though I think he could hear exactly what they were asking him, he just said his own little thing. And even when she asked, are you going to come back next year? He didn't give an answer. There was no, of course, I apologize, and that's why I'm coming back. He made no mention of coming back next year, serving his penalty, said he was sorry and all that, and I think that's the last we're going to see of him in an Ohio State uniform.
I think you may be correct. And, boy, did he get you. You made a great point. Did he not, like I said, of course he was hurt at the end, and he went, limped off, went and got it taped up, came back on, played again, at the end, took a snap or two. But the backup players, his hands around their neck pulling up, you see the grimace on his face.
Yep.
It's like, oh my gosh! I mean, they should have had a car. I mean, I've seen guys. The guy broke his broke his wrist and is all. That's a painful thing.
Right.
But he comes out in street clothes, puts a cast on, and he was fine.
Mm-hmm.
The foot. Oh my gosh! And the grimace. And then you saw him walking up. What a great job of it was. It was the warrior mentality.
Yep.
He had no business finishing the game. And I respect him as a player. He's an okay passer. He's not a great passer.
Right.
He's not a first-round draft pick. He's a third-round pick. I mean, when it comes right down to it, he can run around. When it comes to the difference between a guy like him, Cam Newton's such a far better player.
Yes.
I'm comparing guys because of their style of play. They both like to run. People always question, well, they're runners first, thrower second. But Cam Newton's a far better player than Terrell Pryor is. And he played fine last night. But he did a good job, won the MVP, played well, had some help, Guys played at Ohio State, played a good football game. But it was a sloppy at times on both sides of the ball, blah, blah, blah. But then the up there on the stage.
Yeah.
To reach down and grab his foot about four times while the camera was on and all the fans could see him as if he was just struggling. So, and you know what? It's funny. I didn't see him leaning against the rail. I just kind of saw him standing there.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. And then the guys carrying. I mean, you know what? There is absolutely no question in my mind he's hurt, but there's also absolutely no question in my mind that he milked it as could be. So when he wakes up and reads the paper this morning, the warrior that is Terrell Pryor. No, the warrior was that defense. The warrior was a doggone Ironhead Hayward's brother. I mean, son.
Yeah,
Craig's son. And the warrior, I mean, I don't want to hear the it just, I'm almost embarrassed. I was embarrassed for Pryor at the end of the game.
Yeah, he didn't handle it well, but I think it's he sees an opportunity to kind of change the all the media attention, all the bad media attention into good media attention, and now he can jump ship and it won't be as bad.
Yep, he just milked it to perfection. Hey, a little break. My from a friend that says that Rich Rod, Man AP, says Rich Rod is officially out at Michigan, and. I can't. There can be no surprise. Anthony, is there anything else about the game last night? Are you good with that?
I just want to ask you about what'd you make of Ryan Mallett last night?
You know what I made of Ryan Mallett? Exactly what we talked about yesterday.
He
did exactly what right now. Now I got to tell you, his friends didn't help him out much.
No, a lot of drop passes.
Yeah, he had balls that ran right through their arms that should have been caught. Five or six balls that were either first downs. One was definitely a touchdown. Another one would have got him close. I mean, they did not help him out at all.
No.
But he did exactly what Ryan Mallett, he last night he did what exactly how I would have described him if I'm a scout. He lived up to exactly what I said he is. He's a big body. He's inaccurate at times.
Yeah.
Throws the ball down the field with unbelievable velocity.
Yep.
Can make a throw that a normal human being or a good quarterback at times can't make.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll also make a throw and make a decision that an average quarterback wouldn't make.
Right.
You know, the decision. He's got off. His mechanics are not good.
No.
He's got average mechanics at best, which is going to get him. He's going to throw. You know, he's the type of guy in his first year, if he gets a start for a bad team, is going to throw, you know, 16 touchdowns and 24 interceptions. That's him. Now, he'll get better, but explosive arm. I think when I looked at his lower body, he looked bigger than, it looks to me like he needs to shed some pounds.
Right, right.
I mean, he looked a little soft and fry. Now he had a rib thing on, but down in the lower body, it looks to me like he's gained weight. He's going to need to get an off-season program where he doesn't get too comfortable being 6'7", 6'6", and a half.
Right.
But great arm, but not always a great, matter of fact, a decent decision maker, not a great decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
And his biggest weakness is his biggest strength, or vice versa. He knows he's got a big arm, so he'll try throws, and he's got guts. But the biggest problem is he'll try to make a throw that he has absolutely no business making. He'll throw it into three guys on one, and you know, so he is not. And when he had to sidestep the pocket last night, he completely lost focus of his accuracy. So he is what I said, explosive talent that'll leave your jaw drop down with a great throw.
Right.
And then two plays later, break your heart with an interception. That's why he's not going to get taken in the top 10 picks.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's going to fall in the draft. Some team's going to fall in love with him with the raw talent.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, the smart ones are going to say, you know what? This guy's, first of all, when you put it this way, you watch Luck and watch Mallett.
Yeah.
That's watching Elway and Salisbury, okay? And I don't mean I'm as good as Mallett. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The difference between the two
mm-hmm.
is monumental.
Yeah.
It's not even close. Mallett can't hold, now arm strength he can, but as a complete football player, he can't hold Andrew Luck's nuts.
Yeah.
And he cannot. So, you know, he'll plummet down there. You know what he is? He's a different Jake Locker. Locker's got all this raw potential.
Yep.
And somebody's going to draft him on sheer athleticism and say, man, I can turn this guy into a player. And Mallett's got the huge arm and the big size and the gunslinger attitude. Some scout's going to fall in love with him. A general manager's going to draft him. But I will tell you this. If you pulled 32 general managers,
mm-hmm.
I could promise you this, 25 of them wouldn't take him in the first round.
No. No.
They'd say, you know what, if I was 26th and he's sitting there, depending on what I needed, yeah, because, you know, he's got such raw ability. I think the guy can make some plays and you can turn him into a player. But he's going to have great mechanical coaching because, you know what, I can already tell at Arkansas, they've allowed him to run the show.
Yep.
And now they haven't tinkered one bit with his mechanics. It's just, oh, he's got a big arm. Let's just hope that it works.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get away with that in the pros. Those guys are too good.
No, he kind of reminds me. Mallett. I think he's kind of a cross. I mean, between almost like a Chad Henne, big arm, and the size of like a Joe Flacco.
And erratic as all heck.
Yes,
he'll throw a three quarters to drop down sidearm. You know, he just and he'll think, man, there's covered three guys on one, but you know what? There's a little window. Let me throw this damn thing.
Yeah, and it's
and then once in a while he'll sneak it in there, and the announcers will go, oh my gosh, what a great throw! And then he'll come back two series later. And some guy will be sitting in the hole, a linebacker. He won't see him, and he'll throw it right to him.
Exactly.
That's Mallett. That's Ryan Mallett.
Yep.
And he's going to get better. I mean, the guy's a good guy. Hey, he'd be a guy you'd like to train and coach because he's enormous talent, explosive talent. The problem is he ain't Sam Bradford. He sure as hell ain't Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
He's not that nobody's going to – you know, at the beginning of the year, people talked about him as a top 10 pick. He's not a top 10. I wouldn't pick him in the top 10 if I was a quarterback. Matter of fact, Gabbert's going to get taken ahead of him, kid from Missouri.
Yeah, that was bad news for both Locker and for Mallett once Gabbert
– Absolutely.
That pushes them further down in the
first
round.
I'm not so sure if I wasn't Ryan Mallett.
Come back for
you
one
You don't
more.
Want to be the fourth quarterback taken money-wise.
Right.
And I know with the CBA and all that, I am not so sure – that I wouldn't have the guts to come back one more year and have a monster year.
Win the Heisman.
That's again, be in that hunt, get my team to another big bowl game, and now I got a chance to prove to the world I've improved, I've done some other things, and instead of the fourth quarterback, depending on who's coming out next year, I could actually be the first or second quarterback. I'm not, you know, I personally do not think he's ready.
No.
He's not ready to do what Sam Bradford did or what Andrew Luck's going to do and start right now. But he may be forced into it, depending on where he goes. But he may also get lucky and get drafted 24th and go to a team that's a playoff team. You know what I mean? He may get lucky, like Roethlisberger did that one year where Pittsburgh wasn't far off, had a down year, and they get the guy, and they turn around, boom, just like that, they're a contender. So, but I, you know what? If I was Mallett, and then if coaches and scouts were honest to him,
yeah,
they're going to tell him he's a first-round pick, but if they were honest, say, you're a first-round pick, but there's three or four guys in front of you at that position.
Yep.
If I was him, I'd come back and play another year.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I thought yesterday, we spoke about Jake Locker, and how he's probably going to slide in the first round, probably mid to late first round. I thought a perfect spot for him to wind up, and we spoke about his mechanics breaking down. You know, a team like the Colts that's going to be picking in the probably the low to mid-20s, who have no backup quarterback, who better to learn from than a team like that? Just put him behind Peyton Manning.
Perfect choice. And you know what? Kind of a Bill Polian general manager type of guy. Because you know what? A hard-working, keeps his mouth closed, would sit there and follow Peyton, nip at Peyton Manning's heels and follow him around forever.
Yep.
You can sit there, and even if Manning plays six more years, you know, you develop, then you become a free agent, and maybe they trade you. Or you never know, or they keep you around if you've got patience. Mm-hmm. You know, Steve Young had to do it behind Montana. But you're going, and you know what the truth is about Jake Locker? You can get you can do some different things with your offense with him in there.
Yes.
I could actually, you know, you stick him in the Wildcat, but he's athletic enough.
Yeah.
Where one time I could stick him out and put him in the slot, you know, as a back. I can do some things with Jake Locker. He's that type of athlete.
Yeah.
And while he's learning a quarterback, you know, you're exactly right. Come here with us, man. You're going to learn from the one thing that you need. I got here, and his name's number 18. He wears jersey number 18 on his back. There's no pressure for you to play right now. You're coming to a good team. And I just want you to sit around and follow follow every single thing that Peyton Manning does, you do.
Yeah. I think it would be the best thing for him.
Perfect position. And you know what? He's probably going to fall that deep.
He'll be there.
And if you're Bill Foley, you say, okay, what's the downside of this? And you start to think, okay, we got to get healthy at a couple positions. But if Locker, if you think about, okay, raw potential, last year the guy had been gone in the first two picks. Now he's all the way down here for us. We're drafting best athlete available. We can get Peyton Manning can get him back up to being a top 10 type quarterback play in that. So let's do this. Unless there's something where they say, "Oh my gosh, we're sitting here and the outside linebacker that we've been begging for is sitting right there." Because
the one thing
that the Colts will do, they draft well, and Bill Polian's a genius at doing that.
Yeah.
So they put it this way: if in fact Locker was sitting there and they draft him. You can make no question or have no worries about it that will mean that Jake Locker is the best player on the board if the Colts take him at that time, because Bill Polian and his staff do an unbelievable job of scouting talent, unlike a lot of people that are in front of them or behind them in the draft.
Exactly, yeah.
Couldn't
be more right.
And you know what? I'll tell you where else. Two firsts, two seconds, two thirds. He's a Belichick guy.
Yeah.
They every year they get a quarterback, and that backup quarterback, you know, sometimes he'll move to another team. You know, they don't have a problem doing that. They can keep a backup for a couple years other than Cass. I mean, you know, they're okay with that, you know, because the guy doesn't get on the field very much. And you know what? He's a perfect Belichick guy. Smart.
Yep.
Athletic.
You're right.
Not a loud talker. Not a self-promoter. We got two ones, two twos, two threes. Damn.
Why not?
Let me grab this guy. He's perfect. We can put him behind Tom. We can mix him in. We don't run the Wildcat. That's not usually what we do.
Right.
Kevin Falk's coming off an injury as our third down. We put him in here. This is a 6'2", 6'3", 230-pound stud at quarterback.
Yep.
He's a perfect Belichick guy, too. And what does he and Polian have in common? They know how to draft.
Yep.
Get the best guy suited for their team. That would not shock me either if all of a sudden with two firsts, the Patriots pop up and say, trade down. I don't even know where their second first-round pick or wherever it is. But
right.
If it's a high one, they'll draft somebody there. But it'd be like Belichick to trade down, get somebody's number one and another number two or three to do that and still be able to get the guy they want. That's typical New England Patriots. And Locker is a typical Bill Belichick guy.
Yep. It would make sense for them to get some.
No question about it. A little insurance policy. Basically, you're getting a raw top 10 talent who had a down year, so he plummeted in draft people's eyes. That's what you're getting.
Yep.
And that's the type of guy Belichick will deal with. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Bill wants to draft the guys that you don't think can play.
Mm-hmm.
Bill wants to draft the guys that say he's smarter than you, and we'll win with a bunch of guys you've never heard of,
yep.
And we'll turn them into superstars. And that's Bill. And that's Belichick to a T, so that wouldn't shock me either. I will not be shocked if Jake Locker goes to a team that actually has a clue and it already has that position settled fine and dandy, thank you. That would not surprise me at all.
It'd be the best situation for him.
Absolutely, no question about it. You're exactly right.
His confidence is shot. He needs to work behind us.
And now looking at it, I'm not so sure, had he been drafted first or second last year,
Mm-hmm.
And he had to go play for a team like Buffalo or a team like that. I'm not so sure that Locker wouldn't be people wouldn't be looking at him saying, is this guy a bust?
Yeah.
Because he wasn't ready quarterback maturity-wise to come out last year. Mm-hmm. It was just raw. My gosh, this guy's special. And then his team isn't very good. He came back, lost confidence this year. Team wasn't good. All the games on his shoulders, couldn't handle it. We know he's got the raw ability, but then you get to a point where the season's going, and you don't have time to take him aside and say, we got to change this. You just got to go out and win games.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to a bowl game, but you're exactly right. Get him in a situation to where he can learn behind somebody who's really good in front of him. You don't want to throw him into a position where he's got to come out and start for a 4-12, 3-13 team.
No, that would be absolutely
don't want to do it. Yep, exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. I appreciate you, my man.
All right, Sean, have a good one.
Chime in tomorrow. Take care of that foot. I don't want your girlfriend to have to carry you off the works site today, okay?
No, I'm going to milk this till next week.
I don't blame you. The cameras will be on you, my man.
All right, Sean.
We'll look forward to it.
All right, take
Coming
care.
Coming back, got a couple good emails. Thanks, Anthony. My man, AP, can't call in today because he's working like a fool, like a machine with my people at Live Good Advertising. I'm going to read his. My man, AC, also talking about Ohio State-Arkansas game. We'll get it all done, folks. Love it. You better, too, right here on Voice America Sports. We're unfiltered. We got 40 minutes to go. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
The Sports Maverick Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Maverick Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Moyer and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
It's more than a sports show. Tune in every Friday for End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Tony knows and does it all. Whether it's sports, business, or politics, the discussion all comes to focus in one place. You'll hear from the personalities as well as the everyday people, each bringing their own perspective to the discussion. This is a weekly forum that you'll want to be a part of. End of the Bench with Tony Bowie airs live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. Hicklin is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Voice America Sports here, Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. My man AP, Anthony Pischke at Live Good Advertising. And by the way, if you want somebody who can do the things he does, he's my guy and the best in the business. Give him a call at 888-534-0530 and ask for Anthony. Matter of fact, if you call him, ask for AP. He'll think you and him are tight because that's my guy. At Live Good Advertising, and become a part of the revolution of Live Good Advertising, and he'll take care of you. A lot of needs in the entertainment business. Doesn't matter. You may be a model. You may be an entertainer, singer, athlete, whatever. Athlete and or broadcaster. He's done a great job by me. Great to have his friendship and a big part of what we do at as we build this unfiltered brand, and I'm appreciative of him. And he says, can't call in today, but I've always wondered why these guys run away from the sports drink bath and seem to be afraid to get wet. He's talking about the Gatorade bath. He makes a good point. Tressa last night jumped away like a 14-year-old girl, and the truth is it was funny, and they had to get Jim across the field. At least the players were resilient, who had just got jumped away like a 14-year-old girl who just got kissed for the first time. If I'm a coach who just won a Sugar Bowl, I'm bathing in it. What do you think? I agree, AP. I 100%. I agree 100%. To me, enjoy the hell out of it. And even when it's 25 degrees out and they throw that Gatorade on you, why not? That's what it's supposed to do. It doesn't matter if they stain your shirt or their sweater vest. Guess what? Indoors, night. Let them, at the Sugar Bowl. Let them stain the sweater vest. I'm sure that there's plenty more red sweater vests with Ohio State logo on it. It coaches indoor, outdoor, freezing. Heck yeah. And you know it's coming. And it's amazing how a lot of coaches forget. They're so caught up in it, they forget. But then there are some coaches kind of get a little angry. It's almost like the stiffness that is some coaches. You're up by 30 with 28 seconds to go, and they're afraid to start high-fiving. Well, that's disrespect. No, it's not disrespect. This, you know what? Or there's a minute and 20 to go. You're up by 4 touchdowns, and they want to get it out, and you're kind of afraid to shake hands. You're telling everybody to back up as if somebody's got a 28-point play in their book. I mean, you know what? It's one thing embarrassing somebody. It's another thing. You're entitled to celebrate after all the hard work. So I agree. Jim did a great job of deflecting anything on him last night and giving all his seniors credit. 100%. Good for him. Kind of sucked, though, didn't it? If you heard after the game, the players had to leave. They got on a plane last night. They didn't even allow them to even Lou Holtz is going off saying, oh, let him stay or go down to Bourbon Street. You know, you got to tame them and say, you set the rules and make sure you guys don't do anything stupid or it'll reflect on Ohio State and reflect on your career here at Ohio State. You make it your scholarship here. You make it very well known. But you know what? You win a Sugar Bowl. Ain't nothing wrong with the fellas going and having a good time. They put them on a plane last night, and they're already back in Columbus today. They didn't even get to enjoy the victory last night. I'm sure they did when they got back to Columbus. I don't know. You put all that hard work, and you think they'd kind of, because you know during the week they didn't get to enjoy it enough with curfew. To me, that's a little, you know what, kids got to live a little. Doesn't mean be an idiot. Kids got to live a little. Now, this is from my man. We had AP, my man from Live Good Advertising, my guy. And now we got my man AC, Andre, who calls in and emails quite often to SeanSouths@gmail.com. I'm grateful. He said, I wasn't that impressed with the game last night between Ohio State and Arkansas. Too many drop passes by Arkansas. And that's no question, AC. I think that Malik got exposed last night in a very dangerous way. His inability to deal with the pressure and the erratic nature that he dealt with the pressure makes you wonder how he will translate, and I know he means translate, to the NFL. I think he showed some weaknesses that hurt his stock. Pryor and his act was pathetic, and Jim or someone should have pulled him aside and told him to stop. He acted like a drama queen, and the self-serving way that he tried to rehabilitate his image looked very disingenuous. Ohio State and the Sugar Bowl and the NC2A really pulled one off to make sure they put on a great show last night and did not lose money from those players not playing. But now that they are going to do, now what are they going to do about Pryor and his use of a free loaner cars and all the other baggage that he has done in violation of NC2A rules? And you know what? You wonder how sincere Pryor is with his apology to the crowd. And AC is exactly right. The milking of the foot injury last night was humiliating. And I, you know what? If Tressel was even paying attention, I'd have done the same thing as a coach. I'd have said, you know what? Be careful with this injury thing. Because no offense, unless that foot is broke, ligaments are torn, or tendons are shredded. We've all had, like, I've had torn ligaments in my ankle or hurt foot. Limp off the field, or go get crutches, or go get the cart. Don't give me this two players under your arm. It was embarrassing. I was, after an MVP performance, I was humiliated for Pryor last night. Humiliated for him milking and then touching his foot while he was on stage as if that was going to help him while he's standing on stage knowing damn well the cameras are on him. It was embarrassing. And if he looks at it himself today, looks on tape, I'd kind of go hide and say, oh, man, that kind of looked bad. I milked it completely. You know what? Willis Reed wasn't playing for the Ohio State Buckeyes last night. I believe Willis Reed actually is an Ohio State Buckeye. If I'm not mistaken, I believe he is. And even Willis coming in for the New York Knicks in the NBA Finals wouldn't have walked out of the locker room and given us that. Wouldn't have gone after the game. Wouldn't have had two players coming. Enough, folks, enough. That was embarrassing for Pryor. And it bothered me. I lost a little respect for him, for a really good college football player. To milk that foot and touch it too much, and he's exactly right, AC is. Mallett did get exposed a little bit. He did not deal well with pressure. And it's amazing how one big game or one bad game like this can change the way people think about you. And while he had a lot of drop passes, and people will notice that, but dealing with the pressure, when you look hard and study the tape about Ryan Mallett, you'll notice the average mechanics and a guy who he's not in Andrew Luck's class. There's a difference. Luck's special. Mallett is a guy that if you draft him in the first round, you're still drafting on potential, and I think he's good. When you look at Luck, you say, I know he's great. When you look at Mallett, you're thinking, I believe he can be a good player. That's what you believe. I mean, a top-notch arm that's through the roof. But the rest of it is still out there. Is still out there. And I didn't, you know what? I don't, the two quarterbacks in the game both have enormous talent. Pryor's not getting drafted anywhere high, whether he comes out or not this next year. And I don't think he translates to being a quarterback at the next level unless he's off and on and gets a lot of training. I don't think he's a great quarterback. He's just not. And Mallett, he'll be drafted in the first round. Where remains to be seen how far down he plummets and exactly how scouts think of him. I know that, you know, I've been in the game a long time and watched quarterbacks and scouted them and trained a quarterback, and I, you know, watched a lot of tape. Three quarterbacks have that tape before him. I just do. But if you want a quarterback contest and say, let's drop back and throw it with velocity and length, I'll take Mallett, and he can beat any of them. So we'll see how that continues. And the playoffs coming up this weekend. You know, we've broke that down millions of times, but we'll continue to as it rolls along, finding out exactly, you know, where your thoughts are on the playoffs. And I'll give you, as we get closer to Friday, Wednesday, I will break down, you know, the key elements and keys to the game. The great thing about the playoffs, instead of having 16 games a week, that we don't have to just rush through and make picks. Now it can be, here's why. This is what I love. It's the real meat and potatoes, X's and O's, of why the Colts and the Jets game, the matchup, and where you're going to, how you'd play Peyton Manning if I was the Jets, what you do to Mark Sanchez, how you'd defend the New York Jets in this football game. If you're the Indianapolis Colts, who, while they're playing at home and not an underdog, they're an underdog in the playoffs because of all the injuries and the incredible amount of people that have been on IR and for this team to manage this and get it done. Maybe speaks to continued greatness of Peyton Manning. Rich Rodriguez out at Michigan. The question is, who replaces him? Now, would you believe, we talked about it yesterday. I'm trying to think, if I was coaching at Stanford and USC offered me the head coaching job, I believe. For that, probably. I think. Would I go to USC or would I go to the Dallas Cowboys as a head coach? Interesting question. Guess you'd have to weigh that. Do you want to be your alma mater with the young kids that you can shape their lives? Or do you want to go with the NFL guys who are earning a living and you know, it's a crazy business? I'm not sure what I'd do if I'm a guy like Jim Harbaugh, who's the hottest commodity in coaching right now. It's amazingly enough, he's a hotter commodity than Cowher and Gruden are. He really is. Which makes you think that it's time for Gruden and Cowher to jump back in so they're not out too long. A name that never gets mentioned, and you know, and here's Brian Billick as well. A name that never gets mentioned that was a hell of a coach with us in Minnesota, and although it didn't work out in Arizona and they didn't have players, and had Denny able to get Kurt Warner before Ken Whisenhunt did, the Arizona Cardinals, Denny would still be a head coach. Denny Green's a hell of a coach, folks. But Denny's been out of it, and I know he's coaching in the UFL. I think the Sacramento team, Sacramento or San Jose, I'm not sure which one. I think Sacramento. I can't remember which one it is. But Denny is a great coach, and his name doesn't get mentioned. And you start to wonder, well, has he been out of the head coaching ranks too long where people forget about him? I know damn well what kind of coach Danny Green was, and he'd offered me a job on his staff in Arizona, and I know how good he is. But you start to out of sight, out of mind, you start to wonder, well, people bypass you and say, well, we'll go with somebody else. With Cowher and Gruden yet, and I don't think it's a job. And I don't even know if Denny wants to still do it. I don't know. But if he does, I'd look at him. And he's always had a good relationship with Al Davis. But that may be, you know, I mean, Al's always liked Denny, and Denny's kind of had that, you know, Denny'd be great there. But Hugh Jackson may get that job for Tom Cable. He was a passing game coordinator, and they hired him as the offensive coordinator, should I say, and they don't want to lose him. I know San Francisco, I think, wants to talk to him. And Hugh did a great job this year, so will he get the job? We'll come back and talk more about it, but Harbaugh's a hotter commodity than Gruden and Cowher right now, at least you would think. So isn't it time, if you're really going to do it for Gruden and Cowher, they both got great TV jobs, but they're still both coaches. Isn't it time one of those two guys or both took a job now? Because eventually, 5-6 years afterwards, do you go back and say, well, does Cowher still have the bargaining power 3 years from now that he does today? It's an interesting topic. We'll talk about it. One of the great jobs in college football, Michigan. Are they going to have trouble giving the job away? We'll be right back here on Voice America Sports. I'm Sean Salisbury. We're Unfiltered.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need a bitch's ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
Don't miss the show that gives you exclusive access to your favorite pro athletes off the field and in our communities. Join host Nick Murphy for Heroes Radio. Hear it directly from the source as we take you behind the scenes with your favorite stars. It's sports, community, entertainment, and fun. And it's all part of Heroes Radio. Tune in Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network. We talk about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and how to get more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk with their combined experience of 60 years in the woods. Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they're also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. Tune in every Thursday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time to IS Outdoors with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Voice America Sports and Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. So Rich Rodriguez is out. If you're Jim Harbaugh, 888-346-9144. I know a bunch of you listen. There's no reason to be afraid to call. If you're at work, I know you probably can't because your boss will hear you. You're on your computer. We're eventually going to get to this thing where we're audio and video, where we're doing a little simulcast on the internet, and we can slap a bunch of stuff daily on YouTube and build this Unfiltered brand beyond belief. By the way, my new show. And I think, you know, they've gone back with Unfiltered and the rest of it, which Unfiltered's great, but I think we're going to call it, and they're putting out press releases, Inside Sports, a new TV show that we're filming in February. We're doing the production in January. Our first show in February, we're airing everything, the first two episodes in March on Versus. as far as I know right now. That's where it's at, and hopefully get picked up full-time, and it'll be basically what I do here with a little bit with some humor also, which we laugh on this show. Basically taking this and sticking it on TV is what we're doing at Inside Sports, but it's Inside Sports Sean Salisbury Unleashed. So kind of like that. Although I'm building the Unfiltered brand, the name of the show will Sean Salisbury Unleashed, which will be great, and we'll be able to, you know, obviously take from what I do, and we'll attack hardcore sports, not just football, hardcore sports, with a little humor, some laughs along the way, and we're going to bust it, and we are going to bust it. We're going to tell you, and basically kind of look at it as Jon Stewart for what he does for The Daily Show, a little bit of PTI, a little bit of what I did at ESPN, you know, with the good sports analysis and getting after it and opinion or on SportsCenter and like what Charles does at TNT, combine that into one show. And that's what we're going to give you. And I'm not backing off from my opinion. I'm not going to back off from the truth. I'm obviously not going to be in the smut business. I'm not going to be talking about this guy and that girl. You know, if someone comes out and we have to make a little humor and it's widely known that this guy's dating this girl for fun, yes. But I'm not going to be, I don't believe in the ruining lives business. I'm not in that business. That's not what this show will be about. This is not a hurt somebody and ruin their career business. This is if a guy throws five picks, he sucked. If a guy throws five touchdowns, he's great. If the Miami Heat go on to win an NBA championship, then it lived up to its expectations. If they get beat in the second round of the playoffs, then you know what? It was a failure of a season. That's what you're going to get. And you'll get athletes on, you know, if they for interviews. We'll get people on for some humor. But this, you know, it's not going to be Saturday Night Live. It's going to be opinion with guests and getting after it. And the same thing that you and I would do sitting at home, getting after it, talking. You're going to get it on TV, which you don't get much of that now. You'll get some disagreement on studio shows. But I'm talking about the hardcore sports truth. And you know what? Somehow, some way, I'll get fans involved because you guys are what make me go. The excitement for me is to wake up and have the fact that you're listening and you're either at the water cooler saying, man, did you hear what he said? Or, man, I can't believe he doesn't like this player or can't believe he said that. That's what makes it great. One thing you're not going to get from me is a whole lot of BS, though. We'll laugh and have some BS that way. But if you're looking for the smut, it's not here. A little bit of fun, but if you're looking for good, fun sports, that's where it'll be. Not only on this show, is where hopefully you love this. I love doing it, and I'm honored and humbled. But when we get the Inside Sports, Sean Salisbury Unleashed in February, March, and hopefully we'll be doing it every week forever. You know, hopefully that'll be the case. I'm excited about it. But at Michigan, guys, what do you mean? You know, Rich Rodriguez had a miserable time. The buyout when he left West Virginia, the controversy while he's been there, the recruit, I mean, everything. It's been a tough run at Michigan. And sure as heck, and if Rich Rodriguez had to do it all over again, and Rich won't say this, and I'm sure his people would advise against it. Had he have known this was going to go on and the way it's worked out, and quarterbacks transferring, and Ryan Mallett leaving, and his offense not working, and not being able to get his recruits in there until Denard Robinson gets in there now with Rich leaving. If you're Denard Robinson, don't you leave? Don't you transfer? Especially if Michigan, wouldn't it be great if Michigan brought in a guy like Mike Leach? And I say Mike Leach because, you know, the Maryland situation, close. They gave it to Randy Edsall. But think about what Mike Leach's spread offense would do in this conference in the Big Ten. You know, think about it. Wouldn't that be great to get Mike Leach in there? You want to put people in the big house, although, you know what, Daffy Duck can be coaching Michigan and 110,000 of you are going to show up because that's what kind of fans you guys are at Michigan, which is great. You're going to fill that place up. But wouldn't you like to see Mike with the Wolverine on his helmet? On his hat, you know, coaching the Wolverines and going out there and Mike Leach with his quirky ways. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? That's what you want to talk about, a boom, swift kick in the rear end. Why not? For your franchise, for your program. But if you're Rich Rodriguez, you regret leaving West Virginia now. Not that Michigan's not a better program or gives you more recruits, but what's gone on, if you had to do it all over again, you'd have stayed at West Virginia because you'd still be the coach because he had West Virginia in the hunt every year. Now, if you're Denard Robinson, who will be a Heisman front runner next year, and if they bring in a passing coach that's just that and don't use your skills, doesn't he have to do what Ryan Mallett did? When Mallett was there, they brought in this crazy offense that Rich Rodriguez runs from West Virginia. Mallett left. Now Denard Robinson, that crazy offense that Rich runs, is not going to be there anymore. That Rich is out. What if you're Denard Robinson, don't you got to go somewhere where they do what you do? Now, that means you got to sit out. So, well, you see a quandary here. It's a good football player. What do you do now? A special, a Heisman Trophy candidate. Has there ever been a time when a Heisman Trophy candidate that was at the first five games of the season was the Heisman frontrunner? Denard Robinson was. He really was. Nobody, the first 3 weeks of the season, nobody was even, Cam Newton's name never even came up. Then, bam, like gangbusters, he presented himself, and before you know it, it's his Heisman Trophy. First 2 or 3 weeks of the season, people didn't even know what they had in Cam Newton. But Denard Robinson was ripping up college football. Have we ever had a time when a guy was a frontrunner for a Heisman, transferred and sat out a year, and then came back and was a Heisman Trophy candidate again? Have we ever had that happen? I don't know. I'm just asking. Just hit me. I don't know. But if a passing quarterback comes in there, Denard Robinson, a coach comes in there, Denard Robinson can't stay there and utilize his skills, right? Unless you want to move him to running back, and he's not going to want to do that. So who do you hire? Is it really going to be this difficult? And heck, a former player who lived across the street from the big house in Jim Harbaugh doesn't want the job. Have we really gotten to the point where can you give the Michigan job away? Of course, some assistant coach somewhere else, like Al Golden when he left Temple to go to the U, and you know Will Muschamp at a great program like Texas gets a chance to job at Florida. Well, this Michigan, that's what you're talking about. You, Michigan, Ohio State, Southern Cal, Alabama. I mean, that's one of these programs. Notre Dame. So who's going to get this job? If you're a former pro coach like a John Gruden and you want to and you take it to recruit, are you ready to do that? He'd be great. The best unemployed football coach out there that knows the college game and can recruit Texas and California is Leach. Why would Michigan be afraid to hire Mike Leach? Who wants a safe hire right now? And 10 years of a winning program, the winningest coach in Texas Tech history, a team that Mike took three-star recruits and made them winners. And I keep endorsing Mike Leach because I can't believe he's still without a job. Lawsuit against Texas Tech or not, that's a whole different egg. Forget that. And his team was at the top of the Big 12 in academics and graduation rates. So what are you worried about if you're Michigan? I think Maryland was dumb for not hiring him, although Randy Edsall's a safe hire. He's not Mike Leach. And if you're Michigan and David Brandon is Mr. Domino's Pizza, heck, you took some chances with your Domino's Pizza and CEO that. Take a chance at your head coach. Get a guy in there who doesn't look perfect in a coat and tie and maybe not the perfect interview because he's quirky. Who cares? Your program needs a kick in the ass. Because right now, it's kind of like when Domino's Pizza did their overhaul with all their pizzas, and you see these commercials on all the time. And by the way, folks, David Brandon was the CEO at Domino's before he took over at his alma mater and the athletic director and did a great job at Domino's, athletic director at Michigan. But you see all that, people were complaining about Domino's Pizza, and they completely overhauled their marketing plan. The commercials are on now. They're going out, and they went out and talked to the people that wrote bad letters in about them, and you see the commercials on about them all the time. They did a complete overhaul and went against the norm to admit they admitted that their pizzas weren't very good and completely turned it around to say, fans, you said it, we're fixing it. Michigan needs to sit back and admit that their program sucks right now. Their fans don't. Hell, when you can wake up and be playing Gustavus Adolphus, you could play Occidental College, you could play me and eight guys in a pickup game, and that's not even 11 guys, and they'd put 110,000 in that damn building, 106,000, 108,000. You don't have to worry about getting the fans there, but you got some alumni that expect you to win. I don't believe the program has to have, and it was pointed out by the voice of the Michigan Wolverines, and I don't know his name, I can't remember, that the truth is, Bo Schembechler worked with Woody Hayes at Ohio State, and Bo said that you got to have a Michigan guy in Michigan. Lloyd Carr wasn't a Michigan guy before he was Michigan. Rich Rodriguez wasn't a Michigan guy. Bo Schembechler wasn't a Michigan guy before he was Michigan. Okay? So you don't necessarily need a Michigan guy. I mean, all those guys, they weren't Michigan guys before they became Michigan guys. I'm a USC guy. Does that mean I can't go coach at Alabama and all of a sudden 15 years down the road be, I mean, as I'm going along, become a Crimson Tide guy? That's crazy. Of course you can. Pete Carroll wasn't an SC guy. And everybody now affiliates USC's football program that Pete Carroll's a Trojan. All that tradition. He just brought the tradition back. Pete Carroll was smart enough to sit there and say, okay, what's the tradition of USC? Bing, 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 getting ex-players back, doing all this, having stars on the sideline, going and recruiting again and making sure we dominate California's recruiting bed. Bam, we'll get SC back. Pete Carroll's not an SC guy. You think Lane Kiffin was an SC guy? Did Nick Saban play at Alabama? I rest my case. Brian Kelly ain't a Notre Dame guy, although he got the name for it. He got the name for it. Lou Holtz, I don't believe, went to Notre Dame. He wasn't a Notre Dame guy, didn't play football there, coached it, but became a Notre Dame guy. So I don't believe you got to have a Michigan guy to get Michigan tradition back. You got to have a guy that comes in there that's willing to accept the Michigan tradition and enhance it. Great job. Great football job. How the hell the Wolverines can't get great recruits and win is beyond me. And they got some this year, and they started to win, went to a bowl game, and then took it on the chin from Mississippi State. I'm talking about hammered. A change was needed, and I like Rich Rodriguez. I thought he was great at West Virginia. Just goes to show you when a change of environment or a change of what you're used to being around was completely different. The what he was at West Virginia compared to Michigan, and boom, things don't work out from the start and went downhill from there. We've all been in situations where we've had a rough run at things, where you just know it's not home. And for Michigan, Rich Rodriguez wasn't home, and for Rich Rodriguez, Michigan wasn't home. The next guy's got to be. There's no reason for Michigan to get their butt kicked by Mississippi State and give up 50. There's no reason by Michigan to go 8 and should be going 6-6. They just shouldn't. Too good. Too good. Great job to have. But why in the world, everybody, I mean, why does everything have to be conventional and the chalk way and just being safe? Why, folks? Why? I mean, you know, these. When I say a safe hire, I mean, you know, does it have to be a name? I mean, fire somebody who's going to fire people up and make them better kids and better football players. Really simple. Make them better kids and better football players. And in the process of making them better kids and better football players, you make Michigan or any other program a better program. And the fans become better fans. Because let's face it, at poor programs like Michigan and Ohio State, Alabama, Florida, people don't want the fall to go away. And you know why? Not that there's not other things involved at the school and all the academics and great programs, but those schools live for Saturday afternoons. And that's where a great deal of their alumni support come from, the 107,000 that are sitting there watching their team every week. So make no mistake about it. The most important thing at the top 10 programs in this country are their football programs for alumni support. So again, make them good kids, make it a good football program, more money from the alumni. Real simple. Unfortunately, much of the alumni didn't pay attention to the guy in the kid who's getting straight A's in the journalism school until he becomes a big broadcaster, but they're sure hell paying attention to who's running the coaching stop on the sidelines. Make no mistake about it. We're coming back. Sean Salisbury, Unfiltered. This is Voice America Sports. Michigan, among others, need a new head coach. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Locked in to Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, on the Voice America Sports Channel. To make your voice heard, call in to 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Or send an email to SeanSals@gmail.com. That's SeanSals@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Great email from my man, Andre, AC. The act by Pryor, the act meaning the milking the injury, grabbing his foot on stage, having players carry him off, give me a break, was embarrassing. And if nobody else in this country is talking about it, then you guys are just ass-kissing on him, because he played a good game and we would have given him a lot more respect and appreciation had that he, you know, not milked that so blatant and used it for, you use the television cameras for a way to milk an injury. Not that he's not hurt, but he didn't need people carrying him off the field. I'm sorry, folks. He just didn't. Okay. Unless that thing's fallen off. But AC makes a great point. He said the act by Pryor also showed lack of character, and it would make smart people move even further away from him. Excuse me, farther away from him, distance. He should have let someone else tell the story after the fact that he was injured. It would have at least come over better and not seem so self-serving. And he's right. If one of his players would have said, well, did you see the injury, how bad his foot is? Instead of him half and the half player, come here, guys, help me right in front of the camera, no doubt. And here's a couple more great points. The longer Gruden, and I've made this point, and he's with me, the longer Gruden and Cowher stay out, the lower their stock will get. I would stay away from Gruden because he just rubs many of his players the wrong way and simply wears his players out. John Gruden, and this is me piping in real quick, John Gruden is got the – now maybe he's learned something being away from broadcasting on how to look at it different, and John's successful. He's got a Super Bowl ring. But John's like Pat Riley. Great coaches, great X's and O's, motivators in your face, but the constant grind after a handful of years gets you to the point. You're at the Raiders, you're the coordinator in Philadelphia, boom, got to leave. You get the Oakland Raider head coaching job, after a while, the grind, got to leave. Go to Tampa, boom, do that, after a while, the grind, got to leave. It's just in Pat Riley, Lakers, Knicks, Heat, upstairs, back downstairs to coach, back upstairs. The grind of guys like that starts to wear on you, and AAC couldn't be more correct. And I've heard it and listened to players talk. Not John's great. If you want a guy who come in for 5 years and take care of it and get it to where it's going, that's about the shelf life before it's time for him to go to another team, because he will beat his players into the ground. But he'll get them to play. He rubs many of his players the wrong way. He also lost credibility when Keyshawn called him out during a Chucky routine, and he did not do a thing. That's right, I forgot about that. And Michigan has lost sight of who they are like many traditional teams. They are going to have to pay more than they do and recognize the name Michigan does not mean what it used to mean. Bad time for Michigan with all those spread players and potential recruits and commits that are now in purgatory waiting to see who the new coach will be. Michigan cannot recruit players like they used to, and Harbaugh would be better off at Stanford if he stays in college. Great show today. Couldn't agree more. See, that's the problem. When you go out and get a guy so unconventional as Rich Rodriguez, if it works, you're great. You build your program around that for the next 15 years. But if you're going to go out and get an unconventional guy like that, and remember, what do we all coaches say? Wait till I give me a couple years to get my guys in here. So Rich started to get his guys. Denard Robinson, different type of runner, receivers that are different, block downfield, do a little bit different things, and look what happens. Now what, 3 years into the run, he starts to get his guys, and now you got a sophomore or junior who plays his style offense, And now they're more than likely going to bring more of it. If you've got Harbaugh, Harbaugh is a pro-style, I formation, two tight ends, spread it once in a while, get in the gun once in a while, get under center, old-school quarterback that runs it the old-school way with some new school and with a new-school quarterback at Andrew Luck. It's a good thing to have. Make any coach look like a genius. Jim's a hell of a coach. But if Jim Harbaugh had Jim Harbaugh had Jake Locker, they wouldn't be as good. If Steve Sarkisian had Andrew Luck, they'd have been in the Pac-10 hunt. It's really, that's why this position is so important. Harbaugh's, I've been saying for a couple of years that there's no way Stanford can keep Harbaugh over the long haul. I mean, for two reasons. And I love Stanford. It's just their requirements are so hard. They get, you know, you watch this team. They can. Who says Stanford can't go beat Oregon, even though they lost to them, or can't go beat Auburn? They can. I'm talking about on a consistent year in, year out basis. They're not going to win any recruiting battles with Washington for the most part. The Washingtons, SCs, they're just not Oregon's because of the requirement. I mean, the requirements to be a student there are ridiculous. That's why Cal at times struggles too. I mean, those two programs done an unbelievable job. And that's why Tedford deserves great credit and Harbaugh for what they've done and how they've turned it around, considering they get great recruits, but they get great recruits that also excel in the class. And sometimes those recruits that you're getting at certain schools, whether, you know, around the country, they may not qualify to get into Stanford. So you have to almost change your style a little bit. And Harbaugh's done an unbelievable job. It helps to have a quarterback. But, you know, so if you bring a guy like Harbaugh in to Michigan, now the guys you got, Jim's now got it. And you know what? Jim won't go 12-1 his first year at Michigan if he took the job, which he's not going to take it. And AC's exactly right. If you're smart, Stanford right now, better chance to win than Michigan, far better. Proved it this year. It's just they're a far better team. And Jim's got his guys there. And if Stanford's smart, if Jim leaves, they'll bring in a guy who can cater to their passing game and maybe get a little, you know, let's say it was Leach, where you can at least use those guys in the passing game and a quarterback, but you're not turning it into an option, unconventional run team. But now in Michigan, if Jim were to take that job, Michigan fans ought to know they're not going 12-1 next year. If Jim took, if this is just an end, we're speculating. Jim's not going there, but if he did, a guy like him, you're not, you can't expect a guy like Leach or Harbaugh to go in there and be 10-2 next year with those recruits and running a completely different system. Now you got to go and get rid of it. You're going to get a bunch of guys transfer, go to places they want. Now the program's in chaos again. So what Michigan did in the first place by hiring not just an unconventional coach, a completely unconventional coach, is that now by the program not being successful, you've set it back because you got scholarships to guys that aren't going to be able to, that aren't going to be any good for the new program, especially offensively, and that are going to want to leave, and now you got to go get your own guy. So it's going to take 2 to 3 years to build the new coach. Michigan's put themselves in a hell of a hard time. Hell of a hard time. Is that music kicked in? Can't tell. There you go. Turn me up. There you go. I'd have kept talking for 5 minutes. So we'll see what Michigan does. But that's the problem you get in now with recruits. A bunch of them are going to go. Some are going to stay, and some are never going to make an impact now because of a new coach coming in that's going to run completely different from what they're doing. Great run. So much to talk about. We'll continue this Michigan talk tomorrow. And how a certain amount of scholarships, you can't turn it around like you used to when you could offer 5 All-America running backs when they had 105 scholarships. Different ball game now. Michigan's in a world of hurt. It takes David Copperfield and the good Lord himself to come fix it. The good Lord can fix anything. The magic of David Copperfield can't. But that's a great program. If you're patient enough and get the right guy in there, Michigan will win again. But for right now, man alive, David Brandon's got his work cut out for him. Great show today. Appreciate all that participated. ACAP, Anthony, everybody involved. I love you. Thanks to the guys at Voice America Sports who handle everything for me. Man alive, I got a great life. Hope your 2011's rolling well. We'll talk to you tomorrow. My foot hurts, but I'm not going to have anybody carry me to the bathroom. Thank you, Terrell Pryor. I'm Sean Salisbury. We are Unfiltered. It's Voice America Sports. You guys have a great day. I'm headed to go hunting with my son after school. Shoot guns a little bit. We'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks for tuning in to Sean Salisbury Unfiltered. We hope you'll come back weekdays at 10 a.m. in the East, 7 a.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel. Take care.